I'm Danielle.
I'm Shannon.
And we are Push Push, the girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing.
Listen and subscribe to the podcast across all major streaming platforms, including full shows on YouTube.
Welcome back to Push Push. I'm Danielle Davis.
I'm Shannon Kessler.
We are your girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing. And we are back after Baku. And as Charles Leclerc would say, we are back, baby.
And it's just so fitting that, you know, your favorite track and probably one of the best races we've had all season. Such a good race. A street circuit. It can bring a lot of emotions out of a race fan. You could be anxious about it. You could be excited about it. You could be, you know, all over the board. And I feel like you got a little bit of everything in Baku this weekend.
It did not disappoint. And can I just spend like 1 minute talking about how freaking epic this course is? Baku is like, yes. We're going past a castle. It's beautiful. Then you're beautiful. Tree-lined streets, wide avenue, which I love the street race because Monaco is iconic, amazing, perfect, but it's tight. The road is tight. In Baku, you have some elbow room. You got some room to race.
To do some racing.
Yeah, you've got some space to get around. We've got castles. We've got beautiful metropolitan city. We've got old city. We've got tree-lined streets. We've got great turns. This race is like Stefan from SNL said, this race has everything. Beauty, history, street racing. I love it. And sometimes I think at the beginning of the season, I'm like, oh, you know, this race is cool. No, Baku, that's it. I'm trying to go to Azerbaijan. It's on my bucket list. Looks like a freaking awesome city. I would love to attend. Call me.
Yeah, let's go. Let's put it on the list. We're just going to check him up.
Will Smith, pack me in your suitcase next time. Maybe don't. I don't know. Hollywood is weird. But like, why was Will Smith there? Who knows? Because he knows that Baku is a cool ass city.
You know, Naomi Campbell out there waving the flag at the end.
Yeah.
Lewis, did you bring your friends to the? Did you bring your friends to the track day? Like, what's happening?
Will was with the Scuderia.
It was great. Also, can we talk about how amazing this shirt is?
Yeah, like, this is a great shirt. I'll take a picture and post on stories if you're
listening on a podcast right now and you're like, I would love to see Danielle's shirt, head over to YouTube.
You can watch the whole show.
Look at this.
It's a dope shirt. Yeah.
Love it.
It took 7 years to come in the mail. So it's from this company called Reality Racing. That's an unpaid shout out. I wish it was paid. But if you know, the gear is tight, but it takes forever. So
yeah, be patient. Get in.
Yeah. So I recommend it if you have time to wait. But Baku is so freaking cool.
Yeah.
And I want to go there.
I agree.
So thank you for letting me. Just the streets with the trees. Beautiful. Stunning. Perfect.
It is beautiful. It always seems like the weather is so nice.
Yeah. And this race has moved on the calendar. It used to be earlier in the year. But looks lovely either way.
Yeah.
I feel like it usually rains there. Like,
I'll be honest, until I started watching Formula One, I didn't know where Azerbaijan was. No clue.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, a valid thing. But now we're women of the world.
No, yeah. Yeah, only if there's a, you know, if there's a race there.
We're global citizens.
Exactly. It's really expanding my knowledge.
Now, cue the people that are like, women are ruinous. You didn't even know where it was. Well, you know what? You probably didn't either, asshole. So
you probably didn't know how to spell it before you had to Google it.
But yeah, I loved it. And the race was chef's kiss. Almost.
Depending on what side of the track you're on, did you think the race was great? I mean, we could start. Let's start at qualies. Shall we start at qualies?
Yeah, take us through it.
I feel like, you know, I have the McLaren on hat today.
You have been coming very strong McLaren lately.
I am becoming an Oscar fan. Okay?
Well, because Lewis is not having some great times these days.
You know, still, Lewis will always be king of my heart, always be my number one racer. But you also, like, my heart is big. It has room.
Has space.
No, it has some space.
Well, Lewis and Daniel have left some room available for someone new to step in.
How to love, and now that I know how to love, I'm free to love whoever I want to love. That's where I stand on my driver love at the moment. So Oscar is up there, and I feel bad for Lando right now because, in all honesty, he got dicked over in qualies.
They're so stupid.
It's not even his fault. Like, the stewards threw out a yellow flag for a slow car, which is a white flag penalty, not a yellow flag penalty.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, sorry, delete your lap time. You can't go. And his first qualifying time left him in 17th place on the grid. Like, that's bullshit. And, you know, I get it. Like, mistakes were made, but like, mistakes were made and you never got a chance to make it right.
No, 100%. And he even has come out and said that it was like an unfair yellow flag and that it ruined his Grand Prix. But like, in his defense, he kind of crushed it. He was giving like vintage Lewis Hamilton vibes coming from the back. I mean, also Max Verstappen, he really was grinding. But yeah, he said it wasn't fair. And then he said, in true F1 pettiness, quote, "You don't have to be a scientist to work that out." So that was in the news and notes, but we'll just add that there because that's all you really need to know. He said, "You don't have to be that smart to know that that was messed up."
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, continue.
Well, yeah, I mean, I felt bad. I was like, oh man, Lando, you really got it on that one. But then.
Did you feel bad for Max Verstappen?
No, not at all. Never do. Never feel bad.
Never, not once. I, dare I say, feel kind of bad for him. I don't really, but like, human emotions are weird.
I just think, you know, Karma has a really funny sense of humor when she wants to show up and like even score for things. And I'm like, maybe you did something in the past. You felt like it needed to be, the score needed to be settled today.
Shannon has no room in her heart for Max Verstappen. I do. No. I want everyone for the record to know.
No, no room.
But I do.
No room in the end.
None for Max. None for Max. I mean, Max is going to light it on fire soon, right?
Disagree. He can't find his lighter. That's his
problem. No, I don't mean like on the track. I mean like off the track. Like he's going to burn down Red Bull soon, right? Like he's going to lose his shit on everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's probably got like a Tupperware container full of receipts at this point. He's like, just wait, just you wait. I'm going to bring these out. And you're all gonna die.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, we've been wondering what's happening with Sergio, but Street King Sergio,
check King out. Of streets showed King of the up streets. In Azerbaijan. It took him a minute. It took him 17 races, but he finally made his way back.
But he's back, the king of the streets. He said, it's my time.
Yes, this is what I live for. This is what I do. This is what I live for.
And he outqualified Max, which is, yeah. Let me look. It's the first time that Sergio Perez outqualified Max in 33 races. So, wow. Right?
That's impressive.
I mean, that's taking it way back.
Yeah.
That's two seasons back, right? It has to, yeah. So wild. But for once, he did it. Do you think they threw him a bone?
Probably.
He was aided by a tweaked floor design. That's what Autosport says in the story, that he was aided by a tweaked floor design. The Mexican was much happier, and that confidence extended to qualifying where he claimed fourth, outperforming Verstappen for the first time since the 2023 Miami Grand Prix. So wow. New floor, and he was a happy guy.
New floor, who dis? That's
yeah. Like- yeah. I mean, it made a big difference.
Yeah, it did, apparently.
Until it didn't, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, we're not there yet. We still have the beginning of the race to go after. I mean,
qualifying, you're missing the best part about qualifying.
The best part being that Charles Leclerc qualified on pole.
Could you use his actual birth name? Sweet Charles.
I'm like, no, I don't know Charles Percival, whatever. No, just I don't know the long name.
His push given name.
Okay,
sweet Charles Leclerc.
I'm sorry. Please.
Yeah, get it right.
Edit that. For the record.
Pole position, King of Saturday. King of the streets, Prince of the Streets, actually. Just Prince the Prince. The just the Prince. Prince of the Streets. The Prince Prince right. of the Streets.
Yes. The Prince of the Streets did his thing. You know, does what he does best to show up, to show out on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, okay.
That's what he did. He showed up and showed out on a Saturday.
He did. But I felt like that was coded with some sort of, you know, with something about Sundays.
It's not. Not coded.
I'm just saying, who's been on podium the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Sweet Charles Leclerc. So well, I think the last three races, right?
On the podium, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Put some respect.
We'll dive into a little bit later on, you know, whose back he needs to pat for that one.
Well, kind of, but not really. Okay, so we're at race day.
Okay, we're on race day.
And Oscar, Shannon's new favorite driver, isn't.
I just really like him.
Well, I haven't seen you in any Lewis Hamilton gear lately, so you just keep showing up to the pod in McLaren gear.
Well, that's not true. I only wear the McLaren hat when Oscar wins. There's okay. a difference. Okay. And I'm wearing the Williams racing tee because, honestly, Franco...
Yeah, let's talk about the little baby showed up and showed out.
Scored more points than Logan Sargeant did in his entire race or his whole career in his first race.
I know. The new kids in town, I love them.
They're so good.
They're not great for Friday content because they are not of like legal drinking age and they're still like, you know, just children doing fun kid stuff. So it's a little bit, you know. But I'm still throwing them in the Fridays. Like, hit the amusement park, and I will throw you in my Friday. But
right.
I love them. The little new guys are so cute. I love them.
So, and they're good. Like, they're fun to watch.
Yeah, they're badass.
Yeah.
I mean, Cole Pinto just crushing out there. Also, little Ollie Bierman said, I got you, K-Mag. Yeah. I'm going to take care of this car for you.
Come on. Yeah.
And, like, the Haas, you know, the Haas is battling in the streets. With the actual streets of Azerbaijan, but they are like battling for points, you know, they're in seventh place.
What world do we live in that this is where we thought we'd be with the Haas?
And they're battling in the streets against the RB. So like, watch out. They're only 5 points behind. Now there's obviously a huge gap between, you know, 1 through 5 and then, or not even like 1 through 4 and then 5 through 10, but even the gap between 5 and 6 between Aston Martin and RB 82 to 34. But after that, Haas is coming for the RB.
Hey,
they're only 5 points back. And watch out because K-Mag's going to come in hot.
He's like, I got a clean slate and I got 0 bucks.
Oh, I mean, he's coming in to fuck shit
ready to
up.
Could it be, is it possible for a driver to get suspended twice in one season because of penalty points on your license?
That feels like there's only what, like 7 races left.
I don't think there's that many.
6. There's no way he could get another 12 points in like 5 races or whatever, however many are left, 6 or less.
There was one driver up to the challenge.
Go out guns blazing. K-Mag.
If you're going to make the history books, there was something with Flair.
Yeah. Like go big.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, I can't wait to see him just come back on Singapore, just ready to rumble.
Yes.
Okay, so we go into the race. Beautiful day in Azerbaijan.
Charles gets a good jump off, you know, off the front.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Great start.
Great start.
He's no Lando, you know. He comes correct on the start.
He does like to, you know, make it happen.
Yeah, he's driving. He's ready to drive.
And we keep, you know, Leclerc, Piastri, Sergio, like we get 1, 2, 3 a lot. Like that's,
yeah.
We know at some point we're like, okay, these are the three guys.
Carlos also had a good start.
Carlos did have a good start. You know, what happened? Because I didn't tune into the race until a little bit later. So I had to go back.
What happened with Yuki's car?
Yeah.
So
he had a little tuffle, right?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
And it took out, I can't remember exactly if it was the back of it. It took like, it has like a chunk out of the back of his car. And so that's why he just started to like, he was getting past and that there was obviously a battle in the midfield. And he was trying to hold on in that car. It was him and Stroll. Stroll tried to say it was Yuki's fault, but I believe it was Sir Stroll's fault. And it took out, his wheel took out like a big chunk of Yuki's car. So the RB had to retire.
And I feel like I saw that was like lap 16 of that.
Yeah. He hung on for a while and he was kind of battling, and then he started to just like go back and back. He was getting passed, and then they were like, the car is a mess. It's not going to make it through. And there was nothing that they could, it wasn't like a, you know, the front where they could change the nose out or anything like that.
Yeah.
There's no amount of duct tape in 6 seconds that could fix.
Right.
Yeah. What was happening there? So, which that is a huge impact in that point race, because Yuki's out. And then we got Ollie in there, Nico, like coming up for some points. So they're closing that gap.
Yeah. That's impressive. The Haas is looking good.
We're still hopeful for Haas.
Yes.
We're still.
As hopeful. We have been for years, but now the hope seems brighter.
Yeah. I mean, we were worried a little bit when the car might have to get left, you know.
Yeah.
When the car was going to get left behind, we were nervous for Haas.
Yeah.
But we're hopeful for them always. Yeah. But yeah, so they're closing that gap. But yeah, poor Yuki. Yuki hasn't had a great season.
Yuki off the grid, doing great. Like, I feel like his, you know, in his social world of like what we're seeing him, like he's giving us content that we've been asking for, which is, you know, just give us a glimpse of who is Yuki, what do you do?
Yeah.
And he's like, let me show you. And he's had a great glow up.
Oh, yeah.
Into his own and is into his like, you know, fandom or what, or stardom or whatnot, but
yeah,
he seemed to be a little hit or miss on the track. Like, no, he had spurts. Like there was.
No, he's been erratic. Like the performances have been up and down,
which is very on brand for Yuki.
But his seat is not in any sort of.
No, it actually seems that Daniel's seat is like they're going to make the announcement after Singapore that Liam Lawson will take over.
Yeah.
So. That's
not also like big money coming out of Japan.
Yeah.
We got to keep those sponsors happy.
I mean, I honestly wouldn't hate Yuki in the second seat at Red Bull. Now, do I think he would be?
Whoa.
I do not. I just think it would be really great to watch the two go head to head.
He's not, he definitely wouldn't be like scared to go head to head with him.
No, I think, I mean, I honestly do think that Yuki would be dangerous. In
a souped up car, yeah.
Yeah. Like he gives zero fucks and make it in drives like that. But
yeah. He's like Kevin Magnussen, but like pocket size.
Yes.
Yeah. If Yuki would be unhinged with that much power behind him.
Yeah.
He'd be unstoppable.
Yeah. We've seen him and Max in equal machinery. Like when they race, you know, and they do those fun, like monster truck things,
yeah.
To get like the same car. I mean, Yuki dominates Max when they're head to head. So I'm like, well,
wow. Okay. I love that hot take.
What happened if we put Yuki in a Red Bull?
I mean, I'd like to see it.
I'd love to see it.
You got to get out of the cash cab first.
Got to get out of that cash cab. Ding, 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 ding.
Okay, so back to the race. So Yuki's out.
Yeah.
But we are going head to head. The first like 20 laps or so, 20 laps to 15 laps or so, super close. Then Charles opens it up. He says, "Hey guys, I got this."
Yeah.
Opens it up. But then, you know, as tends to happen, the pit stops.
Okay, so I'm going to I tune in. I turn the television on, and it's like lap 20 or 22. So,
did you go back and watch the beginning?
I did not. We had a busy day.
We have a podcast about F1. You have to watch the race.
I watched this morning was my breakfast. I did watch the first two laps. I was like, oh, okay, got it. But I ran out of time. I will say, I did. A mismanagement on my part. I'm sorry. It was not ideal. However, I knew that you.
Janet, we have a podcast.
About I know. F1. I'm going to get fired from my own podcast for not being prepared. But I knew that you could carry us through the first 20 laps and we'd be fine.
Yeah. And the racing was great. Like, it was tight. It was close. All three were, you know, in on each other's tails. It was what we've been wanting for. Like, even the announcer said many times, this is what we've been asking for close racing at the front of the pack. This is what we want.
Yes.
This is what we came for. Mm-hmm. In the words of icon Rihanna. it was great. It was like close racing. Then Charles kind of opened it up. Then we hit the pits. There's a lot of pit strategy going on with the tires, starting on the mediums. How was it going to work on the hards, which Lando was coming up from the back on the hard tires. So that was also,
was it a one stop for Ferrari yesterday?
It was.
Okay. Cause I mean, towards the end, like you did see, like, I mean, his tire deck was like,
well, that was, they were doing a lot of cat and mouse with that too. So they were like, if he stays out, we come in, you know, they're going on the radio and saying, we're doing this. And then they're throwing like, it's plan C.
Yeah.
There's
a gamesmanship. Is that what they were saying?
Yeah. It was a lot of strategery on there, which it was kind of fun to see like who, if they would bite, like what was going to happen with that. Which we haven't had as much of that tire strategy,
right.
You know, trying to throw somebody for a loop. We've had a little bit of it this year, but not as much as probably, you know, in years past.
Yeah. Well, and it felt like it was a full on, you know, that McLaren knew like the only way we're going to win this race is if we outsmart Ferrari.
Yeah. Well, and Oscar had a great pass on. Not going to, you know, did I want that? No. Did I think that Charles was going to get it back? Of course. But that was great driving by Oscar. I mean, Oscar is a talent for the ages. Future world champion. You did not hear it here first, but I'm also saying it.
So we're going to clip it and at minute 21.
But I mean, he drove great. That McLaren is an amazing car. I think that what the Ferrari has been able to do mid-season has been very exciting for us.
Yeah.
For Lauren Ferrari fans, because we've in the past have just let the wheels fall off. And I'm happy to see that they went back to the stables and they figured it out and they brought back a car that is, you know, extra competitive.
Yeah.
And I mean, we were floating, we were flying. Then Carlos was coming on strong at the end.
He was. And it, the pressure was being felt by every person in those positions. When Oscar took the lead and Charles and him were going at it. Like,
oh, for sure.
I was like, oh God, this is it. This is the time. You know, I thought this is it. And honestly, I think if Charles would have had fresher tires, it would have been game over. Like,
I also think that with some extra time, he might have opened it up because he was also saying that Oscar's tire, like that Oscar was struggling. So I think they were both having, you know, the McLaren just had more inner, but
yeah. But then we get the inner Carlos and Checo
into which Carlos had it.
Oh my gosh.
I could taste a double Ferrari podium. I could feel it. My fingertips were tingling with it.
Oh my God. It was incredible. I mean, it was one of those things that you're like, thank you, Baku. Like, you're giving us everything we want at the end of a race. Like, you're getting these overtakes and you're getting close wheel to wheel racing. And then all of a sudden you get a crash in the Ferrari. And
that was
Checo. Go head to head into the wall. And I'm like, oh my God, tires flying everywhere. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
That was Checo's fault.
I agree.
It was Checo's fault.
He had plenty of room.
And he just drove straight into him.
And when you look at it, like Carlos is starting to turn, not turn left, but like he's on the turning apex. And it's like, okay, like this is where he's gonna go. And then all of a sudden it's like, does he turn or is he moving because Checo's in his rear, which because Checo's in his rear, that's, you know, I'm like, oh Jesus, this is terrible. The fact that the FIA was like, this is just a racing incident was absolutely surprising to me because I was
it
like,
was Checo's fault.
It felt a little more one-sided to me than just an incident, but
especially when Carlos in the radio immediately after the crash, when he's dazed and confused into the wall, and it's like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even say Sergio drove into me. Like, he didn't immediately like while out because he's like, I don't even freaking know what happened. I mean, obviously I'm sure he knew that, like, you know, Checo drove into him, but he's like, it wasn't like that motherfucker, you know, how they normally.
Well, the way Checo explained it was like, what the fuck did he just.
But that's because he knew he was in the wrong.
He's certainly not taking responsibility for
his actions.
What he did, but definitely, you know, looking on, you're like.
Well, at first, if you watch it just in live, it was hard to tell whose fault it is. And they slowed it down and showed it from Checo's car view. You can see him go in. And then there was another camera angle where you can see his wheel clip into his. Like, it.
Checo's fault. Surprising that the FIA was like, no one's at fault. Like, two cars are in the wall and you're going to sit here and say, no one's at fault.
Huh. Yeah. I mean. Also, that move that Carlos made when Checo was trying to take Charles, and then Carlos did a little swoopsie swoop. I mean, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
And that's when I could feel it in my fingertips. The whole body was vibrating, like, oh, it's going to happen.
This is amazing. Yeah. And that's where, you know, I am going to interject that I think Carlos is like, what a teammate, you know, like, what a teammate. I'm just going to go ahead. Take care of Checo for his shoulder.
Yeah.
And go right ahead.
I mean, I think Carlos wanted to get the podium too.
Yeah.
I mean, he could feel it too. He could feel it.
Yes. He fought the good fight. And honestly, like, that was like a teammate, like, God, what a guy. And then when a crash happened, I'm like, oh God, I really hope Charles gets him a big hug today.
There was nothing I wanted more than that bromance on the podium. I wanted that beautiful embrace for both of them. I wanted the joy to be twinkling in both of their eyes. I wanted the whole Scuderia like garage out, full of joy. It kind of took the air out of Charles's second place too.
Well, it did make you hold your breath a little bit longer than you wanted to. You
know, well, after the race, you know, they're all kind of like,
yeah, and that's the thing. Like at the end of the race, you should be like super excited and not like, ah. Oh, you know, like it was wild. It was a wild ride. You know, it was.
And then of course, George motherfucking Russell.
That he is king of being in the right place at the right time.
Like just goes zip zip.
Hey guys. Hi. Hey. Hi.
Look, how did you get here? The whole driver lineup at the front was like, how'd this guy get here?
Why him?
Look, we haven't seen him all day.
What is happening?
He's just like, hey, what's up? What's up, guys? George here.
I'll meet you in the cool down room. You're like, get out of here.
how did this guy even get up here?
Don't even know.
That was the most annoying part of it for me, is because we've had those four had really been after it the whole day. And then Lando had been making moves the whole day. So if Lando had made a sneak in there, it would have been like a nice justice for Lando moment. I mean, he was battling with Max. Doing some great racing there. Yeah. Even if Max had been like a zip-zop in.
Yeah.
I would have said, oh, there he is. Which is George Russell just being like, oh, hey guys.
You're like, hey guys, what's going on? Yeah, I got to see Norris finished in fourth. Damn.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Like if Norris had been there, I would have said, oh, okay, cool. Like you did it.
You did it. Damn. I didn't realize. Okay. Because he started in 17th. Right.
Yeah. Like, that's why he was in the contention for driver of the day. That's what I'm saying. If Lando or Max had kind of been able to zip zop in there, it would have felt very, you know, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But no, how did George, like, how'd you get here? How about the new guy in the Williams beating Lewis Hamilton?
Franco?
I mean, Williams had two drivers in the top 10. Let's just let that wash over us. Like, can you believe it?
I really can't. I mean, in my heart of hearts, like, this is not seeing two Williams in the points finishing a race would not have been on a bingo card at any time.
I mean, they scored more points in that race than they had all season. They have 16 total points in the constructors. They scored 10 of them yesterday. 10.
10.
Whatever James is doing over there, it's working.
Well, we're going
to pay him more. I know there's no money to be had, but find it.
Fine. Like, that's, they're about to get infused with some cash thanks to Carlos, but that's, you know, but that's for next season. And, you know, hats off also to Lewis, who had to start in pit lane and finished in the points, you know.
Yeah. Lewis did have to start in the back. I'm not knocking Sir Lewis. He's a
king. Also the fact that he's back on his, you know, I hate this car.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite.
Like, yes, he does. He hates it so much.
What's the one I posted that was like, what's up with the car? Or like, what happened? He's like, the same thing that happens every Saturday. He's like, it sucks. Hate it. Burn it. I hate it here. Thank you for making it nice for Silverstone. Yeah. But yeah, the rest of this year is trash and I hate it.
Pretty much. That's the vibe from Lewis Hamilton from here on out. It's like, oh, is it time? Is it time yet?
He's like, I'm ready to be done with this now. Yeah. He keeps just bringing his friends to lift his spirits.
Yeah.
Like, he says, please.
Keep the environment positive around you and let the rest go as it may.
Yeah. If 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I had told you that Lewis Hamilton finished behind both Williams, would you believe it?
I would not. I'd say you are delusional.
Yeah.
And wake up from your crazy dream.
You'd say that is the most unfathomable thing.
Yeah.
You are absolutely nuts. And I would agree. I would say, what has happened to me? Have I fallen? Yeah, but here we are.
Here we are in this really weird world.
Also, the new guys, just in general, like when we get a new guy, they really come out firing.
Yes.
Like every time a new guy's shown up, they've just been like, we're doing this.
Yeah. They're not scared. They're like, this is what I've trained my whole life to do. And it's like they have nerves, but the nerves don't mean anything yet. It's like, it's a weird, like the expectation is so low that the pressure bubble has not
squashed
it yet. And, you know, they'll get there.
Right. Yeah. No. The weight of the world and, you know, all sorts of other things will weigh on their shoulders and ruin them from the inside out. But right now they're so joyful and full of life. It brings joy.
Yeah, I agree. And I honestly love that we have, you know, an Argentine driver on the grid now. Like,
this is me too.
Exciting. I think he's adorable. I love his name. It's fun to say. I love that he's driving for Williams, you know, getting in the points. Like, Franco, let's go.
Yeah. And Ollie just scoring a point too. So new guys. Claps to you. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see more of you.
Yeah.
We are going to box and take a quick break. So we will be right back.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Looking for a place for some of the best beer and liquor deals in town? Frankfort Avenue Liquors has you covered. If you're looking for a place to watch the game, to catch some of the best live local music, Frankfort Avenue Liquors also has a full service bar with some award-winning bartenders, some of the best drinks you'll find in town. Frankfort Avenue Liquors, as the name says, off of Frankfort Avenue. Check them out today.
Who do you think will have the better year next year, Franco or Ollie?
Well, Franco doesn't have a seat.
Oh, I thought he...
He's replacing Logan this year, but remember, he does not have a seat because Carlos is the second driver next year for Williams. Now is at Audi.
And is the Jack Doohan. I got ahead of myself.
Yeah, I don't know.
This guy's too great. He's too cute. He's too 10 out of 10 to not get him on the grid.
If it was in your news and notes about that. Yeah. But like, there is a talk now, given his performance in Baku, that kind of puts him in a potential driver's seat at Audi. So I was like,
Yeah. How about the New York Times saying that Oscar Piastri's F1 win in Baku was a world-class coming of age drive? Wow, New York Times.
New York Times out there really trying to capitalize on the F1.
It's the Athletic, technically, but.
Right. Could we also discuss the fact that our queen, Nicole Piastri, made an appearance?
I know. She finally got to come to a race.
I'm like, she took her time off of Pilates and said, I want to come see my boy. at a race.
And can I tell you the most surprising thing about her being there? She was talking to somebody and she said that she was so excited to be there because she normally watches the races by herself, because Oscar's brothers and sisters, no, none of them will get up and watch races with her. I was like, how? Like, no one in the fam will do, like,
yeah,
there's not a board where you sign up to watch the race with mom.
No, I don't know if you've listened to her interview with the Red Flags guys, but honestly, it's a good listen. If you haven't, like, go ahead and press play on that, because it's a great listen. But there couldn't be a more normal family in F1 if it were like my family or your family. Like, it is like he just happens to be good at driving
a yeah
car. Like, there is no like hierarchy in the family of who is more important than who,
clearly.
It's just like, no, he just drives it fast.
My brother, he's fine. He has three sisters and yeah, none of them will. There's not some sort of like lottery where you pull out of a hat and you're like, it's my night to stay up with mom and watch Oscar. They're just like, see ya, snoozins. I'll catch it in the morning. Let me know how he does. Yeah, she's like, I'm usually just screaming by myself. I'm like, relatable, but also, could one of the girls get up with her? Like, it's just, I know they probably have school tomorrow, but
mommy's, you know, like,
I just thought that was surprising. But yeah, I'm so glad she got to. She should have been able to wave the red flag. I mean, the red flag, the checkered flag.
That's amazing. I love that she was there. It was great.
Well, I'm glad he won too with his mom there.
Yeah. I'm sure she would have made a tweet about it if you're like, I drove all this way. You didn't even win. Like,
well, she got to see the adopted sibling win, yeah, too, or not win, but on the podium.
Yeah.
You know, the Piastri Leclerc family celebrating the win.
So glad.
Finally, I mean, I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, but they finally knew we finally signed the contract.
Well, thank you for finally making that official. We can, you know, we've been speculating for months that this was going to happen. And it just kind of feels like, I don't know. Lauren's trying to make it happen so bad at Aston Martin. Like, just,
oh yeah,
those world championship dreams come true. And it's like, if I can't buy myself a world championship, I'm going to figure out how to buy enough to piece it together. And you're like, you're starting in the right spots. But dang, maybe, I don't know, you get a better driver than your son, Lawrence, and you might be a little bit closer to getting one of those world championships.
I know we've also talked about this for forever and we will continue, but like, when are they going to get, when is he going to move on from his son?
He's not. I mean, unless his son wins a world championship. Actually, I don't even think he needs his son to win it at this point. I think he's just, it will be the hill that he dies on, because he's like, I have made it my life's mission. And now I got to win a world championship or none of this means anything.
Well, he's never going to win a world championship with his son. No. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
You're not going to make fetch happen, Lawrence.
Yeah.
You have to get another driver if you want to win the world championship. And I don't put it past Lawrence Stroll to win a world championship if he could just disconnect from his son driving, because it's just frankly not going to happen. And I hope we can timestamp this. And if it does happen, come back and you guys can say, you're an idiot and I told you so. And I will, you know, take all criticisms. It's just not going to happen with Lance Stroll.
I mean, the best chance that they have is if they could sign Max Verstappen for 26, right? He's out in 25 or
yeah,
when his contract's up. If they could sign Max and they can keep Alonso, I feel like
you think Alonso's going to stay that long?
If Alonso had Max as a teammate, I think he would stay.
Oh,
I do. Because I think, I mean, the money's good enough. Like, he doesn't need the money. He's not doing this.
No, he doesn't need the money. He's not doing this for money. Yeah.
So it's like, okay.
I think he's doing this to avoid his family.
He's got some other things that he's running.
Not really, but, you know, I think he's.
Yeah. But yes.
I think he's just addicted to the grind of it. I think he likes the routine.
Well, but he's incredibly smart
yeah
in Formula One. So like, it's like, okay, this is what I know how to do. but I think I know how to help the next person win. I just need that person not to be Lance Stroll. Like, I think that that's, and he, you know, he has the knowledge, he has, you know, he can give insights to engineering and, you know, all the things. Like, he
can be his
best buddy in there, and like, they can figure a lot of shit out together. But if you don't have somebody that can operate machinery, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can get every single, like, the best of the best strategists, engineers, you know, all of it. You can get that giant wind tunnel, do it all. But at some point, someone has to drive the car.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to be it with Lance.
You need two. Like, you can't win a world championship by yourself. I mean, that's...
Max is trying.
And which is, I feel like Alonso's already won a world championship. He's like, I've already done it. Let me help you get yours. But you've got to give me a guy who can do it.
Yeah. I think they should get Franco. Go get Franco.
Franco could be fun.
That would be so great. And you got that like Spanish energy. I mean, obviously he's an Argentinian and Spanish, but like, you know, that.
Yeah. I guess the passion of a thousand flames. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we could get some nice energy.
I wouldn't hate it.
Young, like one of the youngest, one of the oldest.
That's true. I think Alonso's time is fleeting. You know, he's like, I don't want to do this forever, but I got two more good fighting years in me. But you got to give me somebody that can do it.
Yeah. Well, there's my pick. Anyways, I'm happy that we finally have, you know, I'm finally put that to bed.
Yes.
Although, if you just Google his name, the amount of articles about this man, you'd think that he's Max Verstappen. I mean, everyone has an opinion. Everyone is talking about it. He's quite the figure, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, that's my thoughts on that. I don't have a lot of news and notes because frankly, I didn't get, you know, a ton of time to prepare on this. And also because I was basking in the glory of this run I'm on with Charles.
Yeah.
Well, the candle took a second. We needed to burn down a little bit, but now.
Back up, baby.
Yeah.
Back at it.
And we got 2 weeks, right? Or is there another one? Is Singapore this week? Sure. I got my schedule off. I thought we had a race last week. I thought this race was last week and then we had the break. But I had the Baku's, you know,
we
swapped
are
around.
Right in.
To your favorite race.
Singapore. I know. I love Singapore.
Under the lights.
Under the lights.
Singapore is really cool.
So fun.
It's going to be toasty though. It's going to be hot.
Always hot. Like, the tire temps are not going to be a problem warming up at this
point. No, race. But the deg is going to be high.
High.
High deg. Shout out to a Colton listener who lives in Singapore now.
Yes. And
hopefully he's going to go to the race.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Send us notes. Send us pics, Colton, if you're listening to this.
And your awesome wife being able to watch it.
Like from your apartment, probably.
No, living out our dream.
Shannon's dream, mostly. Shannon wants to live in Singapore. She needs to do like a stint in Singapore.
No, I do not want to live in
Singapore. I feel like you would like it if you lived there for like 2 months.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Hey, yeah. An extended stay?
Yes. Yeah. Like, that's what I mean. Like an extended stay.
I could do an extended stay in Singapore, for sure.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Could I live there? I don't know.
I feel like you could settle in.
That's probably fun to buy.
I think there's a large expat community there.
There is.
Yeah.
Just don't shoot gum.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of rules there. I don't think I could last. But. And so many people take pictures with you because you're blonde.
Yeah. I'd be so famous.
You would. But yeah, Singapore. So exciting. What do you think is going to happen in Singapore? Do we have anything? Do you have any predictions?
Well, I think I do feel like I'm going to – I see Carlos on a podium.
Oh.
I see Lando getting it together. I see him on a podium. And I see Lewis on the podium. I don't know what like configuration of that I see, but I see those three on a podium.
Is that what your tarot cards say?
That's what my tarot cards.
I have some bad news.
What?
It's supposed to thunderstorm the night of the race. Mm-hmm. I just looked it up. Singapore GP under threat of thunderstorms during upcoming night race.
is it weird that I don't think I've ever seen it rain in Singapore on race day?
I feel like not on race day. I feel like we've seen it where it's rained a little bit on like practice schedule, like practice. Wow.
That seems as odd as like the tornado that happened in Dubai. Like some of these things just don't make sense. You're like, huh. That's weird.
Yeah. So just, I know you don't love that.
Yeah. You guys, the way I hate rain on race day is a new level of anxiety. But oh, don't let it rain on my favorite race.
I know. Hopefully that's, sorry, I didn't mean to really create a lot of dismay for an entire week. Hopefully the forecast will change.
That's true. We have said.
Yeah. Okay. No. I just realized we didn't do our driver of the day and pole position for Baku. So let's do that too.
Okay.
We're really all over the place, but mostly because I'm buzzing off of this Charles Leclerc run.
Well, Danielle, who is your driver of the day?
I want to say Charles, but I'm going to give it to Oscar.
Okay. Okay.
I give credit where it's due.
Yeah, that's it.
Also, Lando had a great drive.
Lando had an exceptional drive. I do agree with that. And I too am going to go with Oscar.
Driver of the day. Who's your P1?
My P1 is going to Carlos Sainz because Carlos out there doing the most to make sure his boy got on podium. He said, don't worry, I'll take care of Checo.
Yeah, he did do that. I mean, my P1 always in my heart, soul is Charles Leclerc. But I'm going to go, my P1 just goes to the full Scuderia.
Yeah.
The full Scuderia for getting it together. Because we could have easily totally muffed this race. They could have easily made choices that we would all regret. And yeah. I think like second place was, you know, probably the best. I, you know, in some sort of alternate universe, there could have maybe been some way that Charles wins. But I think, P2 is just about perfect for this race. And I'm just glad we didn't totally, miss the mark on this one.
Well,
Scuderia. Repping the Scuderia.
Scuderia. And 10 out of 10. Absolutely. I'm pretty sure he said this, but was there a point where the radio comes in for Charles and like, what do you think about Plan C? And he said, that's stupid. Did he say that?
I do remember the, what do you think about Plan C? I don't remember what his response was. The guys were talking, I think, a bunch over top of it too.
And like, they didn't have it up, so I couldn't.
They didn't have the writing up, yeah.
But I remember looking at my family and being like, did he just say it's stupid? And they were like, is that what he said? And I'm like, I don't know. Did I hear that? Like, but
yeah, if you guys heard it, let us know because I'm not sure either.
I need clarifying.
I do remember him saying, what do you think about Plan C?
Yeah.
And that was right after they did the thing where they said, if he stays out, we go in or vice versa. Forget which one was which, but I also think, did you notice this wasn't the case for Ferrari and McLaren, how slow Red Bull's pit stops were?
I did.
Max had like a 3 seconds plus pit stop, which felt so bizarre.
Yeah, everything just seems off at Red Bull, like tip to tail. It's weird. Like I don't know. You're finding that, you know, the chink in the armor now and you're like, damn.
I don't feel like when I've watched F1 in, you know, however many years that I've even seen them go over 3 seconds unless they were, you know, doing some sort of massive, you know, front nose repair or doing something to the wing. Like just a regular standard pit stop. I was like, what happened? What's up, guys? Are we good?
It is weird. Very weird.
It's just not like their crew. I just feel like their crew is such a well-oiled machine. I mean, it's like a 2-3.
Well, they hold the world record in
1.8. Insane. That's what I'm saying. So 3 seconds feels like, I think it was like 3.3 or something. I don't know if exactly. Don't quote me. But I just feel like their pit stops. I was wondering, what's going on, guys? Did somebody get sick? Is there a backup in? What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know. I remember that time they did it like in the dark and it was like 6.3. So like just a 3 second difference and you had full light and full day. Like,
yeah. And I mean, and drivers in contention, like we can't be
doing that. Well, speaking of contention, this victory for McLaren put them at the leaderboard for top of the constructors with 476 points. Red Bull now has 456, Ferrari trails 425, and then Mercedes still has no chance at 309. But and then with the...
Also, can we say Ferrari would have made a bigger dent in that gap? So would Red Bull, for argument's sake.
Yes.
If they hadn't taken each other out. So, you know, come on, guys.
I know. But driver standings, we still have, Max Verstappen at the top with 18, Lando Norris, 254.
It's dropping off.
235. So sneaking right in there. Oscar Piastri, 222. Super close.
I know.
Carlos Sainz, 184.
I know.
So, damn. Like, what is that? 59 points?
But he was much closer last one, and I'm going to die on this, that they made McLaren made too many mistakes early in the season on not swapping positions and prioritizing Lando. I don't think he has any chance of beating him. I read something that he has to outscore Max by an average of 8 points, I think.
8 points, yeah.
Yeah, for the rest of the season, and I just don't see that happening. And
well, he's currently 59 points from Max, but that's, I mean, if he gets, let's see, he needs two first places and another podium, and he'll get it. So we have how many more races?
But you're saying he has to do that, and Max has to be shit.
Yes.
And that's just not like, we haven't seen Max on his A game, but he's still scoring. He's still out there scoring points.
I know he's out there scoring points, but it's not like it's feasible. And again, that you're with your math of like the 8 points, that would be him only beating Max by 1 point at the end of the season. So like the math is still there. It's possible. But like, again, like,
oh, it's possible.
We can't be having you start from 17th place and thinking that that's going to get you the 8 points that you need every race that you got to get there. Now,
also, they have to pray that Max has like at least one DNF.
Just something's got to go wrong with that kid for sure.
Because I just don't, I'm going to say I don't foresee it happening. If it does, then big ups to you, McLaren. And also the wheels have had to have actually fallen off Max's car at some point in a race for it to happen. Because I just don't, I know that Red Bull is having some issues, but I just do not foresee them.
Well, here's
losing this.
It'd be interesting. And again, it's going to be tight, but this is where I really think McLaren and Lando can do this, because we still have two sprints on the calendar.
That's true.
So we do have a, position for those points to play a big factor in what we're doing. And Lando loves to get, pole on Saturday. So,
but you know who balls out at a sprint race?
Transition into bigger point spreads for Lando. I would love to see it. Now we've got I think we have seven more races. Yeah. Seven more races. So seven more races and two of those being sprints. We've got time.
But Max Verstappen has balled out on a sprint race. He has taken he's taken fastest lap, sprint champ. And
it's going to be a lot of strategy for Max to he's going to have to be playing a lot of defense right now. Like his offense game is going to be, what it is, but where he's going to win this championship is a strong defense.
I agree. I mean, I agree with you there, but I'm also just going to say, I don't think there's a chance anyone still beats him unless he actually doesn't finish two races, which I guess that's possible, but.
We've seen crazier things happen, i.e. Sergio and Carlos taking each other out in the second to last lap of this damn race.
Yeah.
Anything's possible in F1.
I just think Helmut Marko will fall on the track and get run over before he lets something happen to Max's championship.
Hey. That's what the man wants to do. Peacefully leave the earth. we've talked about it before on the pod.
I know we have. I don't see it happening. Okay. But I like that we're having to talk about it for once.
This is the most excitement we've had.
But I also think that McLaren made some choices.
They made some choices, and they weren't great. Choices were made.
They made a bed. They're going to have to lay in it.
Yeah.
And Lando's going to say, "I told you so."
And, it's not every year that you compete for a driver's championship and a constructor's in the same year. So, this is your opportunity, Zach. What are you going to do?
Choices were made. I can't wait to just come back to that clip at some point at the end of the season where we said, you're going to regret this. Mm-hmm. You're going to want this back. But yeah, anyways, well, we'll revisit that every episode until the end of the season, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And if you want to listen to where I freaking told Zach Brown that he made some mistakes on not swapping positions, you can listen to all of our episodes on YouTube now, thanks to our friends at the State of Louisville that we are part of their network, and they are putting out the content on YouTube / State of Louisville. You can also listen to all of our old episodes. Go back, listen, learn.
It's a delight. It's such a delight.
We say it's a delight. Maybe it's not. But yeah, go back. You know, we have some archive ones where we did, you know, the Lewis Hamilton Masterclass, where we talk about yachts, where we talk about WAGs.
Hey, we even talk about tires with a Y. And you need to understand why tires are so important in F1. Visit that episode.
I actually was talking to somebody about that at the last day of the pool last week and said, tire strategy plays a big part. This was a new F1 fan. And he was like, I didn't realize that they only got this many tires and that they had to use them. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Tires with a Y. Go figure it out.
Go figure it out. On our Instagram, one of our saved pins is the Push Starter Pack. And it gives you like the top 6 episodes from the beginning that you need to go back and listen to if you want to dive in more to the in-depths of Push, but also to understand more of Formula One. And, you know, it's a good time.
We should probably do some, you know, updates on those, but you know.
That's a good place to start.
A good place to start. Another good place to start is our Instagram at F1PushPush. We are there, and TikTok. We are putting out the content very regularly. So please make sure to follow us there. And also, if you're liking what you're hearing, if you appreciate the pod, it would be so delightful if you would rate and review the podcast. It would make us happier than Nicole Piastri seeing her son win in Baku. And until next time, push.
For more great Louisville sports content and podcasts, follow the State of Louisville on all social media platforms or visit stateoflouisville.com.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.